I get out in the street and we're going back and forth. Again, I'm winning. I'm starting to gain momentum. And as I'm gaining momentum, his brother comes and punches me hard in the back of the head.
Here it comes.
Here it comes.
You're listening to Fresh Era, where we tell stories of the legends from the golden era of hip hop. Each episode, we bring you stories from the pioneers themselves as we dive deep into their lives, their struggles, and what it was like to be a part of the most popular form of music before it was mainstream. I'm your host, Craig Smith. Today, we take a ride through the life of CL Smooth. With his partner, Pete Rock, they mastered the mix of jazz, street, and cool. Their style was one that will be emulated for decades as they made their mark with a classic album and one of hip-hop's most notable songs, They Reminisce Over You. The creation of these timeless works of art wasn't just good music for CL Smooth. They were the culmination of years of finding himself and using his surroundings as influences. One of those influences in particular had a violent beginning and a tragic end. Though the name CL Smooth fits him like a glove, he was born
Corey Penn, October 8th, 1968, in New Rochelle, New York. Living in that town, everybody knows your mom, everybody knows your grandparents, everybody knows your uncles, your cousins. You're one of the big families in that small town.
In this small town, community vibe lived up to the adage, it takes a village to raise a child.
My mother was still in high school when I was born.
Leaving his grandparents to take care of him and his mom.
She was a kid too, so I assumed my grandparents were taking care of her as well. My grandmother was a pediatric nurse, and my grandfather worked in the cleaners as a presser. I wasn't too close to my dad, but my fill-in dad was my grandfather.
And his grandfather served as not just a dad, but an example of what manhood looked like.
It was easy to pick up on his rhythm of being a grandfather and learning off him. He was a different grandfather than me. He was more like something I studied, a specimen.
And while he was studying his grandfather, he was simultaneously studying his grandfather's passion for jazz.
Everything was an instrument, a flute, a horn, that explained it. And after a while, as you listen to these things when you're little, you begin to hear different instruments talk to you. I think horns talk to me the most. Horns explain like they were talking dialogue to the person. So whatever the artist was playing with the horn, he was actually playing words to you.
And he would pair this experience of listening to the instruments with the cues he would pick up from his grandfather.
The way he talked, the way he walked, the way his rhythm was, the way he talked to his friends, it was all jazz orientated with a rhythm, with a flow. Even if he picked up a drink, it was with a flow of jazz. And I picked up on it and I developed it.
Slowly but surely, he would develop his personality based on the example that his grandfather was setting.
That was where I recognized him going into a bar and ordering a beer and a shot, and I would go and emulate him and get me a tall glass of Coke and a shot of Coke and just emulate him.
So jazz wasn't just music, it was a way of life, and the music was all around him, but playing an instrument wasn't necessarily his thing.
I tried the saxophone, but later on, maybe going through junior high school, but I never had the discipline enough to do it. Like going in the park and playing basketball, I never had the passion to do that. But the music passion was always there. Because we used to have this little contraption that played records. It's called the Show and Tell.
The Show and Tell Phono Viewer. More than 75 Show and Tell programs for your kids.
And you put little slides in, and you can see little slides and little shows, little pictures, but it had a phonograph on the top. So any records in the house, I would play as a little kid on this Show and Tell.
And on this Show and Tell toy is where he would hear the OJs, Marvin Gaye, Willie Hutch.
All of these guys had an impact in molding these sounds that I was listening to as a little kid.
He was completely infatuated by the music
and what it made black people do at a party, at a get together, what it made black people feel like, and those vibrations I picked up on.
And at a certain point, his entire life would change as his mother got married and moved them to Queens.
Once I landed in Queens, it just developed into something different. It wasn't any more jazz anymore. It was something different. It was something more aggressive. The air was different. The vibes were different. Taking me from Coltrane to the Furious Five.
Don't push me, 'cause I'm close to the edge.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. I'm so used to being coddled and babied from New Rochelle, and then you throw me in this wild jungle, you can literally see the streets are changing before your eyes. You just gotta be around it. But it was me, I was a culture shock because I'm so used to being coddled and babied from New Rochelle, and then you throw me in this wild jungle. It was different.
And it would take time for him to find himself. Even though hip-hop was on the rise, it still wasn't something that he could participate in. So he found entertainment and examples of self-expression when he was locked down on punishment.
No TV, no radio. Then you read. You articulate. You go within your imagination. You use your imagination to entertain.
And his imagination, coupled with his knowledge of music stemming from his time with his grandfather, contributed to his emerging love of hip-hop.
And now adapting to something totally brand new of hip-hop and hearing Sucker MCs and hearing Funky 4 Plus One More and hearing Spoonie G and knowing that anything is possible. If you love it, then you can probably do it.
He had developed a love for hip-hop and an understanding for the streets of New York. As he grew into a teenager, he began to identify with the environment all around him, an environment that was causing friction at home. From his mother's perspective, hip-hop was partly to blame.
She hated it. She ripped off every poster off the wall. It wasn't religious enough. It wasn't godly enough. And these are the reason why I have these young problems. Because of this music. So you're not allowed. It's too rebellious. He's holding his crotch on the wall. It means nothing to me.
More and more, the issues would arise and the frustration would become too much. Something had to give.
15 years old, I finally had enough of Queens. And I wanted to go back to my roots. And that was New Rochelle.
Moving back to New Rochelle brought him back to the place he had come to remember as his true home.
So I went back to my grandparents. I wasn't really getting along with my parents at the time. So I went back to my comfort zone, the people who gave me the most comfort. And that was my grandparents, of course.
His grandmother and grandfather gave him the love and guidance that he needed at the time. This likely kept him out of trouble and put him in position to use his love for music. As it turns out, just next to New Rochelle in Mount Vernon, the rest of his life was waiting for him.
I got an opportunity to meet all these different people. And within the different people, you got to meet Heavy D. You got to meet Eddie F.
1-2, 1-2, 1-2. I am the overweight lover MC Heavy D. This one goes out to my man DJ Eddie F. Trouble T, you and my partner G Wiz.
Got to meet Pete Rock.
I'm gonna bring my little cousin, the producer of this joint. His name is DJ Pete Rock, definitely part of one of the family.
And you got to meet all the associates and all the characters of the streets of those times. And somewhere, somehow, my musical input gravitated towards them.
And this was in stark contrast to the people he was normally hanging around.
I surrounded myself with animals and monsters. And those were the guys I chose to be friends with. I just chose the wrong crowd to be around than be around people who had their right mind, frame of mind to grow. I needed to grow up.
And he was fortunate enough to be in Mount Vernon around Heavy D and his friends.
Once I saw a taste of what Hev was doing and how they were doing, I fell in love with it. So I knew right away what I wanted to do out of high school. I wanted to make records. School wasn't important to me other than a high school diploma. I had no interest. I knew what I wanted to do.
He knew that his calling was music. His grandfather's commanding presence, the jazz influence, hip-hop, being in the streets, and now Heavy D and company were all churning in his mind, creating the reality that he could be himself and be a success. He was indeed on his way to becoming successful, but it wouldn't come without hard lessons, conflict, and reflecting on family. Coming up, young Corey becomes CL Smooth and ventures into the rap game. And while he's reaching for new heights, a violent altercation and a very sudden death inspire a hip-hop masterpiece. Stay tuned.
Hey, this is Son Dobe from Funk Dobies. Thanks for tuning in to Fresh Era. Did you know that these guys over at Stupid Fly are doing this strictly out of the love for 90s hip-hop culture? If you like what you hear, please do me a favor. Go to stupid-fly.com and pick up some merch to show your support. Then follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Stupid Fly Media. Thank you for supporting our community of Golden Era Gladiators. Now head over to stupid-fly.com.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome back. By the time he was out of high school, CL Smooth, then known as Corey Love, was writing songs and hanging out with Heavy D and his producer Eddie F in Mount Vernon, New York. It almost goes without saying, but Heavy D was a big deal, and young Corey was fortunate enough to be accepted into the fold. He had gone back to his roots, living with his grandfather, who was his role model. His grandfather's impact, coupled with his new outlet of writing music, shaped how he approached the art form, and ultimately, his personality altogether.
What I was thinking as a young kid, 16, 18 years old, is that I didn't want to be considered young. I didn't want to be a boy. At 16, I wanted to be a man. And when you said, you're a little kid or you're young, it offended me. It offended me to the point where it had an impact on my personality. So when I wrote music, I wrote as an old man. I'm copying an old man, but I'm just upgrading it because I'm a young man, and I'm feeding it to young people. But I know I'm ahead of the curve because they don't think like an old soul.
And this had an impact on his life almost immediately.
So I grew out of my friends real quick. Once you start seeing the world and seeing that I can make money and I can support myself and I can develop.
One aspect of his development came as a gift from Heavy D, specifically developing his name.
I had to be maybe 20, and Hev and Big Daddy came in Hev's living room. I'm sitting there with them and just marveling in their greatness of what they're talking about.
That's when Heavy D gets an idea.
We got to come up with a name for you. Corey Love is not going to work. We're gonna do something. Maybe CL. That sounds good. And you're kind of smooth with it. So maybe CL Smooth will do it. And this is what the guy used to do for me.
Heavy D gave him a name and also taught him how to play the game and be a professional.
Just maintain yourself. Maintenance. How you present yourself. Getting your nails and your feet done. Keeping your teeth clean. Getting massages. Getting stretched. Getting the proper rest, focusing on your craft, wearing less jewelry as possible. And I used to ask him, why you always say wear less jewelry as possible? He said, because when you don't have it on, you look too poor. So when people are used to you wearing that, you gotta wear it to bed, you gotta wear it to breakfast, you gotta wear it over here, you gotta wear it over there. Try to wear less jewelry, and then people will accept you for you, organically. And I never forgot that.
He never forgot the tools that Heavy D gave him, and he also never forgot his first influence, his grandfather. Heavy D gave him the name CL Smooth.
But the characterization of CL Smooth I got from my grandfather. The way he walks, certainly the way he talks and he delivers words, I emulated him. I copied him. I copied his mannerisms, his moves.
And with the character of CL Smooth ready to go, he soon got the opportunity to show his skill.
Eddie F used to get these remixes, you know, because he's a great producer. And he's a great businessman. So through his networking, through his company, he would get these projects. And these projects would consist of different artists giving him music to remix.
One of these remixes was for a young singer named Johnny Gill, one of the members of the legendary R&B group New Edition. They called on Eddie F to remix the single Rub You the Right Way, and Eddie F wanted to give CL Smooth the opportunity to show what he was made of.
Rub-a-dub-dub, your love full of wishes. Palm Olive fans, baby, do you do dishes? Slick your body down with oil, then kiss your neck. CL Smooth, bound to get wrecked.
That was my first song being on a record. Being literally on a record, that was my first introduction to the world.
And what an introduction. Rub You the Right Way hit number 3 on the U.S. Hot 100 and number 1 on the U.S. R&B charts. And to say life changed dramatically would be an understatement. Not only was he on the charts, but because of the success of Rub You the Right Way, he was on stage for the first time.
My first real public performance was in Madison Square Garden at 20,000 people. And that was my first time ever being on a stage doing anything. And I remember having on this hat and everybody thinking that I was LL Cool J.
But regardless what the crowd thought, this was a pivotal moment for CL Smooth.
It's sort of like after I did that, I felt like I kind of belong there. Like I'm too young to understand what it is, and I'm mature enough to absorb it and not get overwhelmed by it, but want more of it, but not seem too thirsty to be around these guys.
He had been exposed to the limelight. He had passion for music and was hungry to make something of it. And around this time, he started to really bond and connect with a producer named Pete Rock.
What we had was a commonality of listening to old records. Teenagers listening to very old records. He can quote jazz records and you can be familiar with them. That's something in common. So when you have the background I had and the background he has, and you put these two energies together, you know, it's alchemy.
And the person who saw this alchemy in action was the producer and businessman, Eddie F.
And of course, Eddie F was the businessman that recognized and saw the vision, put his money where his mouth is, and his time and his effort, and said that there has to be something after Heavy D and the Boys. Took his money, put a studio together, took his money and provided studio time, took his money and his gas money and came and got us. We didn't have cars. So we had like all these demos, 30, 40, 50 demos, music. And then we decided to make these 7 songs.
They made 7 songs that would turn into an EP called All Sold Out. This showcased their collective love for jazz music with Pete Rock's instrumentals and the balance of being cool and street with CL Smooth's lyrics.
Make way for the CL rap on phonograph. No other half cozy like a bubble bath. Never said to be strange when I break and rearrange your weak cypher small as chump change.
They had a product that was ready to be delivered to a label, but they had to get a deal first. Luckily, they had been laying a foundation for just that through their connection with Eddie F.
You have all these different projects that you're partaking in, being that you're working with Eddie. So Pete is working, I'm working, Eddie's working, and now we're getting a familiarity and building a catalog of things. And a platform and a brand.
This brand and the EP All Sold Out caught the attention of Dante Ross at Elektra Records. They signed the deal and released All Sold Out in June of 1991. The EP would serve as a way to get Pete Rock and CL Smooth out to the masses before the album. Pete Rock and CL Smooth were buzzing in the streets, and their notoriety would get another boost from Heavy D when he asked them to be a part of a massive posse cut. Pete Rock and CL Smooth would join Kool G Rap, Q-Tip, Big Daddy Kane and Grand Pooba on the song and in the music video for Heavy D's single, Don't Curse.
Now I'ma get back to the subject, get wrecked. If you think I'm bluffing, just check with the crew. P-Rock and CL Smooth, very down to earth, and we didn't have to curse.
After that, it was totally a 360. And from my neighborhood to Harlem to Brooklyn to Queens, It was a big deal.
This was a big deal as his life changed in 1991 for his career and for his personal life.
I had my first 100,000 in 1991. I had everything start. My first car in 1991. Everything was my first Rolex, my first thing, my first chain, my first bank account. Everything was the first, and it all lined up.
But the biggest change at this time was that he had his first son in 1991. And for CL Smooth, becoming a father couldn't have come at a better time.
I was overwhelmed with the joy of it. I was in love with it. I was drunk off of it. I was emotionally unstable off of it. That's how much love and compassion I had for my kid. You know, I don't know what they felt. I just knew that I had to take care of them. I had to. There could be no excuses. I would scrub toilets to take care of this kid. I just was humbled that I could take care of him and give him whatever he wanted.
And with all of these changes came notoriety. Notoriety that at first was hard to wrap his head around.
I was in awe. I was in awe that I can get work and get paid for this. Like, you're paying me to do this shit. I couldn't get over you asking me for my autograph. I couldn't get over it. I was shy. I was, you know, like, come on, man. Stop acting like I'm somebody. After a while, you sound really ignorant doing that. Like, you sound really foolish and ignorant and not up to, you know, like you're in your own bubble. And I kind of was. I wanted to be regular. In the moment, I wanted to just be Corey that walks down the block. I just got a lot of money now, but I'm the same guy.
He might have been the same guy, but that's not how the world saw him. They saw CL Smooth, one half of the dynamic duo cranking out hits, poised to release their debut album. Whether he knew it or not, he was headed into legendary status, and the vision he had for his life as a kid was inevitable. After the break, Pete Rock and CL Smooth released their debut album, and we hear the harrowing story behind the immortal single, They Reminisce Over You, when we come back.
Yo, what's the deal? You got the black sheep, D-R-E-S, yes. And I want y'all to know right here, right now, stupid-fly.com is the place to be. Yo, you got hats, you got t-shirts, and all kind of flyness that you can get your hands on. Not only that, you can check out some of the flyest podcasts you've ever heard in your life. And that would be Stupid Fly Media on Instagram and Facebook. Why? Because they stupid fly. All right?
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back. CL Smooth and his producer partner Pete Rock had branded themselves with their jazzy, edgy, down-to-earth style and secured a record deal. After a successful EP on Elektra Records, they went to work on their highly anticipated debut album. CL Smooth knew that this was his moment to fulfill his destiny, and he had a lot to contribute. So much that he would develop personalities to match the different styles and subjects he would deliver.
The Mecca Don, the Carmel King, El Presidente. These different characters that are in me. When I look at myself as not shallow, it's layers of me.
And with those layers to his personality, he saw the opportunity to remedy something that he had lived with for a long time.
I wanted to be bigger than the street. I wanted to be bigger than what that had to offer. My delivery wasn't tough. I already was tough by then. My friends were too tough. They were too tough. They needed to tone it down. That's how tough they were. So I wasn't coming into the music industry to be tough. I solely came in it to be peaceful, to change the climate of what I came from to give it some jazz. And if I can have some rhythm to it and jazz my way through it, then it's better than getting shot. It's better than having conflict. It's better than going somewhere and can't be comfortable. I want it to be universal. I want it to go everywhere and be with everybody and have everybody have a chance to understand and walk my bridge and my platform.
He was using his lyrics to communicate his story to the world, and he knew that if he opened up with honesty, everyone could relate. The most famous example of this was the lead single from their first album, They Reminisce Over You.
I reminisce for a spell, or shall I say think back, yeah. 22 years ago to keep it on track. The birth of a child on the 8th of October, like a toast, that. But my granddaddy came sober.
I think the song is just basically like a short autobiography of my life at 22, 24 years old. Who am I? What am I? When this is all over, what are they gonna talk about? And I had to dig in myself, and it wasn't too hard to dig in myself because I knew it was all about family. So this was this portrayal of letting the world know where I came from, who brought me into this world, what were my challenges, what was my black plight. I didn't show them the good side of it. I showed them the flawed side of my family to give it realness. My mama got pregnant in high school. My grandfather, like the sip of here and there. This is all true things that people at that time in hip hop weren't really talking about at all. And then going to Troy, then differences that we had and the story that came behind that.
Troy was Trouble T. Roy, one of the members of Heavy D and the Boys. In 1990, Trouble T. Roy tragically died when he was killed by an accidental fall after a concert. Pete Rock and CL Smooth named this song They Reminisce Over You as a tribute to Troy. In the song, he briefly describes their first encounter.
T to the R-O-Y, how did you and I meet in front of Big Lou's fighting in the street?
But to understand the depth of these lyrics and how far the two had come, it's important to get a glimpse at the history of their first encounter, way back in high school. And just a fair warning for listeners, we are going to describe a violent fight.
I remember me coming off of the bus and I had summer school. Third Street was live. I get out there, can't wait to get out there after school. So I got my backpack on, my school stuff on. And I see this car pull up and I see these guys get out. Dress nice, the guys dress nice, impeccably. I see women following them.
This is Trouble T. Roy and his friends.
Not paying any attention. I'm looking like everybody else, but I'm not really paying attention. I'm only paying attention when two guys stop and just keep looking at me. And they're negotiating with my other friend.
They're negotiating because T. Roy has a problem with Corey Love, likely over a girl, and he wants to fight.
So, you know, I guess they make a deal and he comes over, but he doesn't come over by himself. He comes over to me, but there's like six other guys jumping on him.
A violent fight ensues.
So they're winning. They're beating me. They got me. So they're smashing me up. So my friends are pulling them off one at a time. You said that you were going to do the one-on-one thing. And they were like, we came here to do a job. Remember, my name was Corey Love. And then there was Crow Love. And Crow Love was like the leader. So he got him up off.
And Crow Love was gonna make sure Corey Love got his chance to fight.
And he says, get out there and handle your business, but do what you do. So I get out in the street and we're going back and forth. Again, I'm winning. I'm starting to gain momentum. And as I'm gaining momentum, his brother comes and punches me hard in the back of the head.
This likely gives young Corey a concussion. His friends break up the fight.
So now my friend Crow says, don't jump in it. Let them handle their business. So we do it again. I got him again. His brother hits me in the head again, hard. So now my friend says, didn't I tell you? Don't jump in. And hits his brother. He just dropped like that. And his head hit the ground in the and he starts shaking and the blood start coming out and we just took off like little kids. And that's how it stopped. Maybe after a week or two, I come outside and I'm walking down Third Street and a truck pull up on me and it's half. He says, get in. But I'm not, I don't want to get in there.
But Heavy D insists.
So we got in the car. And I turned around. And Troy was in the backseat. And I looked at Hev. He said, don't look at me like that. I'm mad at him. He had no reason to go over to you and approach you with nothing.
Heavy D's mission was to play peacemaker between the two of them.
We get to the studio. We make up. I mean, we really made up. And when Troy died, it was a shock. And I'm so grateful for him for being my friend. And I can honestly say that we are friends.
But only you saw what took many time to see. I dedicate this to you for believing in me.
They Reminisce Over You was released in April of 1992, setting up Pete Rock and CL Smooth's debut album, Mecca and the Soul Brother. The album was released in June of 1992 to critical acclaim, and the duo only got more popular. They started making appearances on soundtracks, including Menace to Society with their song Death Becomes You.
Center, the hell raising, burn a blazing, stress a major caution. See the Mecca done, showing a tongue like Jordan.
And the soundtrack for the blockbuster hit Poetic Justice with their song One in a Million.
One in a Million.
Poetic, energetic rhymes that I'm dropping on you. Justice must be hotter than a sauna.
More and more people started to hear the music and noticed them not just for their tracks, but for their style. They appeared in a magazine ad for Carl Kanai that would make them visible all around the nation.
The Carl Kanai is what put us where we needed to be for the culture and the look of a group. And the Carl Kanai ad was major for us. It expanded us in the country as not just a hometown group or a local group. It made us an international group.
Then, just before they released their sophomore album, they were approached to be a part of a huge campaign for Sprite along with Grand Poobah called Obey Your Thirst.
It's the Mechadon, never swerving untitled. Knowing commercial rap needs to be recycled. Yeah. Collecting cans for Nick's picks, my latest LP. Now obey my thirst, some precise.
Got them.
This campaign would run in every household in America. Pete Rock and CL Smooth were big time.
On TV, everywhere, on every show, the NBA playoffs, the NBA finals, the Super Bowl.
And this whole time, they had been recording their sophomore album, The Main Ingredient. And this album for CL Smooth was a little different.
I wanted to come with something totally different. And I needed it because I wasn't poor anymore. And I wanted to be mature. And it had to be about maturity, and my favorite topic would be women.
The lead single for this second album was I Gotta Love.
Feel the vibe when it's bumping in my trap. Steps the good fellas live on screen. Now you protect the black queen. Taking my time from the black on black crime. Cause the night mega hits, Victoria runs out of secrets.
And during the process of coming up with this second album, he got more help from Heavy D, who could guide him through the process of writing an album while you're already successful.
And I stuck with Hev, and I hung around Hev. And we came up with some good music. He helped me write, helped me redirect my thinking and get accustomed to having money and writing instead of, like, you know, dying out because you're not hungry anymore.
P-Rock and CL Smooth released their second album, The Main Ingredient, in November of 1994. Then, a year later in 1995, at the height of their success, the duo announced that they would be splitting up, citing creative differences. And CL Smooth took some time off.
Because I needed to know where I'm going in life and what's more important to me. Okay, I can make money, I can chase it, I can be where I want to be, but is that really what I feel? My life was too chaotic enough. I'm not married, and I need to raise these kids. And if I don't take time out to do it, it's not gonna get done.
CL Smooth definitely knew the impact of being present in a child's life. If it wasn't for his grandfather, it's really likely that CL Smooth wouldn't exist. And that power that his grandfather had to influence him is something he's keenly aware of.
If you was a boxer, I would be shadow boxing. If you was a basketball player, I'd be dribbling. If he was a football player, I'd be throwing it. Can't blame me for people being an inspiration to you.
If it was his mom, his grandfather, Heavy D, Trouble T. Roy, Queens, New Rochelle, he found inspiration everywhere he went. And his contribution to hip-hop has inspired generations. The song They Reminisce Over You is widely considered one of the best hip-hop songs ever created. And the legacy of Pete Rock and CL Smooth is still alive all around the world. Fresh Era is a Stupid Fly production, written and edited by me, Craig Smith, and made great by the amazing DJ Cheap Shot. Chris Barnett makes magic happen. Sean Berman is our mix engineer. Music by The Math Club. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. Be sure to share this episode with a friend, because the greatest gift you can give us is sharing these stories with someone you know will love them. Follow us on Instagram at Fresh Era Podcast. We'll see you on the next episode of Fresh Era.